Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. Hello, sweet listener. Happy Valentine's Day to you if you're listening to this podcast on the day of its release. This is not a Valentine's Day special in the way that you might think. I'm going to be talking a lot more about brains than hearts, but it's all connected because there's also the significance of dates. This date, this Valentine's Day date, is a loaded date for lots of reasons. People have feelings about it, mixed feelings about it, strong feelings about it. I reinvented Valentine's Day for myself about 18 years ago. And then last year, Valentine's Day 2018, it was reclaimed again in a completely unexpected way. Because last Valentine's Day, I was walking late at night on what I thought was a dry sidewalk. It was black ice. I slipped. I fell. I hit my head, and that is when I got my concussion. So I am, happy anniversary to me. This is my first, I made it through the first year of post-concussive syndrome. Definitely, it was certainly I was not planning on the year that I had, and I want to reflect a little bit on what a difference a year makes, but also in the gifts that I have learned from my research of experience a concussion that I want to pass along to you because it applies and you don't have to fall to benefit from my experience. I mean, there were so many things that I didn't know then, right? So here I am, it's Valentine's Day, I'm walking, I'm thinking I have all these plans for the year. And, you know, I didn't even know that post-concussion syndrome was a thing. I'd never heard of it before. I didn't know anything about brain injuries. I didn't know the difference between what they call a mild traumatic brain injury and just a regular traumatic brain injury. It really, the traumatic brain injury, as far as my understanding, is more of like involving the hardware, and the concussion is more of the software. So it seems mild because everything is supposedly intact, but the experience is not mild. It can be, well, I mean, it's called a traumatic brain injury. How mild is your trauma? This is a useless question. But anyway, that's the terminology. I didn't realize how much I used my brain. I mean, it might seem obvious, but there's my experience this year in having it compromised in this wild, random, whimsical way has been absolutely fascinating. It's like, oh, this, I seem to be able to do this function, but not this one. I seem to be able to do this function for this many minutes, but not in combination with this other thing. Like, it's just so fascinating how much, just what a fine piece of machinery our brains are in general. I had no idea how long it would take to heal. I still actually don't know how long it'll take to heal. I didn't realize what would change when I got an injury like that. I didn't realize what I would lose having an injury like that. I didn't realize, you know, I mean, I could have guessed, but I didn't know who would be the people that really stood up for me, who would be the people who showed up and supported me, sometimes very surprising people, sometimes the people I would guess. And I had no idea about the people who actually wouldn't, the relationships that would change, that would fall away, where it wasn't safe to be around them. For whatever the reason. And I didn't even know what I didn't know. And I still don't know a lot. Even still, I'm learning. And as I learn and heal, I have an increased capacity to process the information. So there's even a delay in like allowing this information to arrive and to make sense to me. It's all, oh, requiring so much patience. And as you can imagine, or maybe you can relate, listener, there's a long list of things that I've needed to do and change. And it can all really be boiled down to simplicity. Like, I really need to radically simplify my life. I could not handle all of the processes, all of the hustling, all of whatever ways I was managing my energy. That needed to change. Now, what's interesting about this is that I was already on that path. So like in the years leading up to the fall last year, I was reading books about simplifying. I was listening to podcasts about working smarter, not harder. I was researching a lot about energy, noticing mine, really recognizing the resonance that I felt when I heard other authors, writers, speakers talk about how important it is for us to scale back and eliminate, you know, whether it's actual clutter or mental. There was a whole bunch of stuff that I was into. So like the main big hitters for me was The Joy of Missing Out by Christina Crook, The Deep Work by Cal Newport, believe it or not, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo, Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and Getting Things Done by David Allen. All of these things I was just getting super pumped about, the idea of this ease and the simplification, and it wasn't reflecting what my life looked like at the time. So all of this was coming in. Another thing that I had been really craving, that I was leaning into actually for years, is having a more intentional and intimate connected relationship with my body. And so, you know, some of those things might have been, wasn't so much reading, more experiencing, but I've been listening and educating myself a lot on intuitive eating. I loved the book Sweat Your Prayers by Gabrielle Roth. And I had a lot of amazing experiences at a place in Toronto called Body Harmonics that does Pilates, but it's so much more than that. And just really, I even took an anatomy class. This is that whole like kind of like biology, like I hadn't done anything like that since high school. And I was sincerely fascinated. I was like, this isn't my strong skill set, but I want to know. I want to know how my body works. I could see how distant I was from it. So this awakening was coming and I was hungry for it. I was hungry for simplifying my life, clarifying my focus, and to have that more intimate, connected relationship with my body, my mind-body. This was something I really wanted. I was working and working towards it. And well, you know, I really got what I was looking for. Not in the way that I thought it was going to arrive. But boy, illness, injury, certain kinds of unexpected life directions and life changes, they show up to serve us. They happen for us. And I know often it's a real challenge to see them that way. So post-concussion, here I was, limited bandwidth, like just limited ability in general. I don't have the choices that I once had, you know, and I can't push myself the way I once did, not without a very fast and serious series of consequences, like symptoms. It's very immediate. Basically, this injury is like an energy crisis. So I have a condition that requires much more energy than what was my normal in order to heal it. So I am in need of a lot more energy than before. And at the same time, I have much less energy than I had even for baseline functioning without requiring all the extra energy to heal. If you don't need to be a math genius to know that this is a bit of a problem. It's a total puzzle. So it's like if you have a family of four and a garden out back that feeds everyone nicely with some wiggle room and you're just living your life, you've got your garden, everyone's nourished, we're all fine, everything's cool. And then it's like I inherited 8 more kids overnight and then my garden was cut down to a third of the size. It's a lot to wrap your head around. And, you know, my head is exactly the thing that needed rest and care. So it was a lot harder to even figure out how to feed all these new arrivals, this metaphorical new children I had. You know, when you haven't eaten and your blood sugar is crashing, it compromises everything. It can really spiral out. Any of you who get what they call hangry, you know what I'm talking about. So your personality can really change, right? If you don't get your nourishment when you need it, you might not even recognize yourself, right? Your moods are way off. You feel out of control. You can't even think. You can't even decide what it is that you need to eat. Like, I get a little bit of this, but I have people close to me who it's quite astounding how strong that is, how sensitive they are to it. So imagine that as your constant state. You know, it's hard to recognize yourself. And over months and months at a time, this, you know, there can be fallout from that. So obviously, this was an act from the universe or whatever to force me to slow way down, way, way down. I just really didn't have an option. Now, if you are going to slow way down, if you're going to boldly simplify your life, if you're going to set firm boundaries and honor them, no matter who doesn't like it, if you're going to take hold of your time and your life and claim space for your dreams, your needs, your healing, your truth, if you're going to step away from autopilot, if you're going to step away from the hustle, from the things that aren't working right now, if you're going to allow your circle to become smaller, if you're going to love yourself like your life depends on it, if you're going to do any of those things, listener, you need to be courageous and you need to be willing to lose things. You have to let go and truly surrender. You have to believe in yourself and value yourself enough to brave the path that you are here to brave. You know, simple doesn't mean easy. And there were, you know, a lot of changes that I was already starting to make in this direction that I wanted to go. And there were some changes that I was too afraid to make until my injuries forced me into this courage. There are changes I am continuing to brave and resist and surrender to a full year into my healing. This is a process. I'm very happy to say I have made huge leaps and strides. I am in so much better shape than I was even just months ago. And I'm excited about the direction that my healing is going. But it is a process. It requires a lot of patience. I have learned and I am learning so much. And one thing that I have learned that I really want to pass along to you today is this. Are you listening? Great. Take out a pen. You don't have to wait for a brain injury to live your life the way you want to live. That's it. I'm out. Dropping the microphone now. There's still more. Like I said, you know, it takes a lot for us to choose ourselves boldly, to choose our dreams, to stand by them, and to do what it takes to see our dreams to life, to say no to all the other things that might take energy away from our dream. I have a friend, an incredible friend, who, by many people's standards, is already living her life as a total badass powerhouse creator. This is someone who has braved many things and continues to do so. And her dreams are even bigger than what she has braved so far. This is a woman with ambition. So in conversation with this radical friend many months ago, I was talking about the limits that I had to put on a certain situation. I was talking about permission that I had to give myself to set boundaries, to make space, to conserve my energy, and to focus it only where it was crucial. Now, to do this, I had to cancel things unapologetically and not worry about how other people might feel about that, because the stress aggravates my system as well. And she joked and said that I was lucky that I had a concussion card to play. And this stuck with me. Now, on a sensitivity side note, if you can catch yourself in this, don't tell people with illnesses or disabilities that they're lucky, okay? Because the rare times that you get special treatment or, you know, a front row seat if you're using a wheelchair, they're not making up for the countless accessibility challenges and discrimination that happen in between, you know, that great parking spot or whatever it is that you might look at and think that's a lucky thing. And especially with invisible injuries and health challenges, you know, it's not a day off if you need that day to refuel for basic mental function and emotional, like, stability, you know? It's like you wouldn't likely tell somebody who was vomiting all day with a stomach flu that they're so lucky to not have to deal with the tediousness of making lunch or something, for example. Okay. But when my close, awesome friend made this joke, I wasn't offended or thinking about sensitivity. I was thinking about her and how really incredible she is and how talented she is and how badass and inspirational her vision is, how capable I know her to be. And I said, friend, don't wait until you have a concussion card. You can do what you want right now. I mean, it was partially selfish that I said this to her. I want to see this. I want to see her dreams come true. I know she's capable of incredible things. She's already incredible. It's like, let's see it. Let's do this, right? So I'm passing this along to you. Don't wait for a concussion card or for any other alarms for your body or the universe or life in general. You and your life are reason enough. You and your life are reason enough. We tend to feel guilty or afraid to meet our own needs until an illness or an excuse comes along to give us permission. Often we'll call this a good reason. I don't have a good reason to take time. I don't have a good reason to be firm with this boundary. I don't have a good reason to manage my energy, like, in a new extreme way because what, right? Because my art isn't important enough, because this is fluffy, whatever. There's so much judgment in how we take care of ourselves and what counts. But you, listener, you are a good reason, and your life is a good reason. I have a question. What do you want permission for? Let's say you had a concussion card, okay? Maybe you actually have one, but if you don't, let's say you have a concussion card. Play this with, like, this abstract jealousy just for a moment. If you had some kind of card to play, what would that allow you to do guilt-free? What is it that you would really love to do? You feel like you don't have a good enough reason. You don't have a card to play. Is it rest? Do you want to rest more? Do you want days off? Do you want a shorter work week? Do you want time to focus on your dream? Do you want permission to just drop a few balls, let go of some responsibilities? Do you want to burn it all down and start over? But, you know, things are fine, so you should be grateful. So it's not a good enough reason. Do you need permission to take a chance? One of my very favorite self-love anthems is Freedom 90 by George Michael. And I love the lyric, there's someone I forgot to be. Is there someone you forgot to be? Listener, do not wait, because you'll hear the whisper. You'll hear the knock at the door. The more we ignore these calls from our intuition, the louder and more aggressive they become. Maybe you have experienced this. They need to get our attention. And when we numb the signs, we tune them out. But we're setting ourselves up for some rough times ahead when we do this, because we cannot extinguish our heart's calling. it will find a way to get our attention. It's like a toddler. It's like it'll start tugging, it'll start pulling on your pant leg, it'll call your name, and if you aren't giving it attention, it will find a way. It, the toddler. The longer that we ignore it, the more disruptive it needs to be. We're teaching it to disrupt if it wants our attention, right? We have a part to play in this. It is perfectly comical that my change of consciousness, as I sometimes like to call this smash of the head on the ice, it's so funny that it happened on Valentine's Day. Like, here I am, self-love coach, breakup doula, all my work centering around the heart. Of course I fell on Valentine's Day. And I think it's fascinating that it was black ice, the invisible kind. You know, this is making me think a lot about blind spots in my own self-love, because boy, I'll tell you, there was a lot of blind spots that revealed themselves in the healing process in the past year. There was someone I was forgetting to be. So this day will forever be changed for me, but like I said, it's not the first time that I have reclaimed Valentine's Day. 18 years ago, I decided to consciously take ownership of this loaded commercial romantic holiday, and I wanted to create my own significance and take power back from the scarcity, heteronormative, you complete me messaging that often floods the airwaves every February 14th. And on that day, 18 years ago, I asked myself to marry me, and I said yes. The beautiful thing about engagements is that they can last as long as you want them to. You can get engaged and stay engaged without ever having a ceremony. Like, there's no rules, especially with you and you. When it comes to self-marriage, you're the only one that matters here. So you can break the rules. You can pace yourself. So why not propose? And why not say yes? What are you waiting for? Do not wait for a concussion. If you don't have to, don't do it, right? I invite you to listen to your heart today. Don't wait. What do you want permission for? Who is the person that you forgot to be? Why not ask yourself to marry you? Make a ring out of aluminum foil or chewing gum, or don't use a ring at all. I made a necklace out of these like plastic seed beads. It was not fancy. You can do whatever you want to because it's all about you and you. Dear listener, I invite you to reclaim this day and make it yours. When glitter hearts appear everywhere, what do you want to associate them with? You get to choose. Our minds are really fascinating and powerful things. You can choose what you want to associate things with. You can create, consciously create new memories. You can reclaim days. You can reclaim images. You get to choose. And so if you get to choose, choose you. You are someone worth loving, and it all starts with you. This episode of the Soft Shoulder Podcast was made possible by techcoven.com. Speaking of like treating yourself and being your own Valentine, why don't you treat yourself to a tarot reading about your love life or your self-love life, love life in general? What about that question that you have about that person you forgot to be? You can get a single card reading for $15 Canadian at techcoven.com, done by the incredible Allison Tarr. And hey, why don't you put on Freedom 90 now and have yourself a little dance party? I will meet you there. It's a great song to strut around your kitchen to. And if you are ready to come home to yourself in a new, radical way, if it's time to focus and prioritize your relationship with yourself, RadicalCreativeSanctuary.com you can set up a call with me right there on the homepage. I have coaching spots available, and I absolutely love supporting you in this fantastic relationship between you and you. It is beautiful.